Finally, we have Dave Sagg, founder and executive director of Carbon Planet, an Australian-based global emissions management consulting company. Can you start by explaining what Carbon Planet is?
Carbon Planet is what we call a full-spectrum carbon management company. It's divided into four principal divisions, primarily audit and advisory services, the carbon commerce division. Then we have a corporate education division. We also underpin that with a part of the company called My Carbon Planet, which is our consumer outreach. The carbon economy itself, it's really the world's response to the threat of climate change. And so Carbon Planet exists really to cover both the polluters and the, for want of a better term, the depolluters.
Can you give us an overview of the regulations and trends in Australia relating to carbon trading?
Australia is in the middle of one of the most significant economic reforms it's ever undertaken. Since the change of government from last year, the new Rudd government, the Labor government, has ratified the Kyoto Protocol, which has been very roundly applauded here in Australia. And for us, that's been quite interesting because we've seen a real change in the kind of customers that come to us. It's sort of been less now about marketing. It's more now about finance people. Minister Penny Wong, who's the Minister for Climate Change, announced just recently their green paper, which is a sort of a first step in the sort of public consultation process of how carbon trading might work in Australia. They've gone for very broad coverage, so almost every industrial sector in Australia is going to be covered by the emissions trading scheme, with the exception of forestry. But there is going to be the opportunity to generate carbon offsets using reforestation.
One of Carbon Planet's sources of carbon credits is forestry, a method with many skeptics. Can you explain this debate?
Forestry's been quite controversial, and Carbon Planet's always been quite a defender of forestry. The main problem, I guess, people have with forestry relates to the science of how you can accurately measure the carbon absorbed by a forest. A lot of people kind of mistake forestry programs for what I call ad hoc tree planting schemes, where, you know, well-meaning community groups go out and plant a few trees, but then they don't maintain them. And that's tainted the image of forestry, proper forestry programs. There have been studies that show that forestry has localized warming effects, but those studies are mostly done on northern hemisphere in areas where there's a lot of snow. And basically what they're saying there is that if you replace sort of snowy landscape with trees, snow is white, therefore reflects heat. Trees are green and they absorb localized heat, and so they're saying trees contribute to global warming, which is, you know, obviously crazy talk. Forestry has been sort of set aside under the Australian plans for emissions trading as one of the only real ways to generate carbon offsets. We'll see how that plays out. I mean, we're big supporters of forestry, and I believe Australia has the potential to be a forestry superpower. Certainly, we sell a lot of forestry credits into the US. We don't sell a lot into Kyoto countries because things like the Kyoto Gold Standard, well, they specifically exclude forestry. My theory is Europe just doesn't have enough space to put forests in. As a result, we don't, we don't get a lot of love from Europe there.
Can you explain your role in the film The Burning Season?
Carbon Planet was approached by Kathy Henkel, one of the filmmakers on the film The Burning Season, which is a film about essentially about avoided deforestation in Indonesia. 20% almost of the world's carbon emissions come from deforestation. These forests that need protecting are in politically unstable areas by and large, and one of the major threats to these forests is illegal logging. So it's quite controversial, and also it sort of represents a wealth transfer because you're looking at revenues from carbon credits for essentially valuing forests in place, and those revenues aren't going to governments. Those revenues are going to be going to forest owning communities, forest people themselves. So it represents quite a significant turnaround. Burning Season, obviously, because it's a film about avoided deforestation, it's about carbon, the carbon economy. So the filmmakers contacted us to see if we could not only help them find carbon credits and audit the production of the film so that it, so they knew what the carbon footprint of the film was and then offset that carbon footprint. They also wanted to know if we could find carbon credits sourced from the areas that they were filming. And so we put a lot of effort into making sure that the carbon abatement that we provided for the burning season was sourced from areas where the burning season itself was set. You know, we've done a lot of work with filmmakers and we look forward to more.
You were part of the dot-com boom, and recently people have been drawing comparisons between that era and the new era of carbon markets. What's the relationship there?
Certainly there's a feeling in the air about the carbon economy. I mean, it's important to understand the carbon economy is the world's response to climate change. The dot-com boom was largely fueled by revenues dedicated to solving the Y2K problem. And a lot of people look back on Y2K and sort of go, well, you know, nothing happened, forgetting that globally we spent about $6 trillion making sure nothing happened. Climate change is going to be a similar thing where I think hopefully we'll look back in 20 years and go, well, nothing happened, forgetting, of course, that we've restructured the entire world's economy and we're going to be dedicating trillions of dollars to solving these problems. There's a lot of money rushing into green tech, clean tech, carbon tech, that kind of thing. But unlike the dot-com boom, it's not a bubble. It's not fueled by a kind of, you know, an almost fictional mania. It's fueled by a real sense of urgency. This is driving a massive economic shift, and it's quite exciting.